Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Harry. I'm currently at Yorkshire Campus here, and I'll be leading the service this morning. And Thomas McElmoyle will come and preach for us as well later. I'm going to read Isaiah 55 to start. It's an invitation to the thirsty. My prayer this morning is that we're all here thirsty for God's word this morning, that Thomas will come and deliver to us. So Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing our first hymn, 1209. My heart is filled with thankfulness. After which we'll have communion.
Let's prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper. a famous prophecy of Isaiah, oft repeated in this month, reads, "Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Matthew explains to his readers when that was fulfilled. Emmanuel means God with us. And we think of that event in a few weeks' time, when the very God of heaven took on flesh and blood, a real body. He became one of us, God with us. But this morning, we're going to remember what happened to that flesh and that blood. Broken, that we might be healed. Shed, that our sin might be paid for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of communion. We thank you for the meaning of this bread and this wine. Lord, we pray now that our hearts will be prepared to take it. The scriptures say that we should examine ourselves before we do take it. If you don't understand, or you don't believe, you can let the bread and the wine pass you by. But if you understand and believe that you are the sinner for whom Christ died, you are the one in whose stead he suffered, then I would invite you to take that bread and wine. But let's just spend a moment or so examining ourselves now before we do so.
Father God, we thank you for the bread. Thank you that it's a picture of your body that on that cross was broken for us. Thank you that you died as the innocent man who came from heaven. You came and took our place as guilty sinners so that we might be free. Father God, I pray that as we take this bread that we'll be reminded of our sin, but as we're reminded of our sin, we'll just marvel more at the wonderful sacrifice that you did for us. I would just be amazed that you came from heaven to earth to take on our sin, to pay it all in full for us. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Take and eat as you receive. Thank you. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Dear Lord, thank you for the cup, the blood of Christ shed for us. Thank you that you walked the journey of pain and suffering to the cross. That you did this for us, for our sin, because you loved us so much that you would die for us. You would shed so much blood for us. And thank you for this sign that we look we look to what you've done for us in dying on the cross for us. I pray it's in your name.
Amen. Retain the cup and we'll drink together. Let's drink together the cup of the new covenant. Gracious God, we thank you for this time of communion. May we always ever be mindful of the dear price with which we were purchased. We thank you, O Lord. Amen.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing again, number 770, after which Molly will come and do a reading for us.
From John chapter 1, and it's verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one who I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was there before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made himself known." This is the word of God.
Amen. I'll pray now for Thomas, and then we'll sing before he comes out and preaches to us. Father God, thank you for this time we can spend this morning coming together as your people, coming to hear your word and talk to us. Lord, I pray for Thomas as he comes and preaches to us in a moment from your word, that you would prepare our hearts for what he has to say. I pray that you would speak through him and use his words, that you would challenge us, and that you'd encourage us as well in our faith, in our walk with you. And I pray that your Son, the Lord Jesus, would be shown through what it is that he's sharing from your word, and that you would get the glory through this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's stand again and sing number 266.
Thank you. Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And I'll be reading from starting from verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Before we look at the passage, let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you've given it to us, that you speak to us through it. I pray that this morning you would speak to each one of us, help us to focus on you, give us soft hearts to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. They say that there is no one so blind as he who will not see. I suppose that is true, for there are many people walking in the world today whose eyes work just fine, yet they cannot seem to see that the way that they're living their lives will eventually lead them to an eternity without God. In this story, we're presented with a man who is completely blind. Bartimaeus could see nothing with his physical eyes, yet he could see things on a spiritual level that others were blind to. This man was blind physically, but he could see spiritual truth. He did not have physical vision until Jesus had healed him, but he had something better, spiritual sight to who Jesus was. Let's see what we can learn from looking at this passage. Firstly, look at verse 46. We see his pitiful condition. We see Bartimaeus' pitiful condition. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. As Mark narrates the story, the scene is of Jesus walking a journey with his disciples to Jerusalem. The setting is Jericho. Now, not the Old Testament Jericho in which the walls came tumbling down, but New Testament Jericho, which is situated around 17 miles north of Jerusalem. Now Jesus and his disciples had walked through the town of Jericho, and as Jesus had been teaching, performing miracles, healing people, a large crowd formed around them. And we're told that Jesus, his disciples, and this great crowd were leaving the city. Like in many of the cities like Jericho, they had large gates where people entered and left the town, including the merchant groups. Therefore, around these gates, beggars would be found. It was an ideal place to sit begging. These could be crippled or blind, but would most likely have some sort of condition which made them unable to work, unable to provide for themselves. They were completely reliant on their friends, family, strangers for help. So they sat by the gates of Jericho, and it's here where Jesus encounters a blind beggar, Bartimaeus. There's three things we can learn about this man quickly. Firstly, Bartimaeus is blind. His pitiful condition is that he cannot see. He had no vision. He was living in utter darkness. We don't know what caused his blindness, but it could have been from injury, disease, or blind from birth. However, during Jesus' day, many saw blindness as judgment from God for sins committed. He had no choice in what he could do. He couldn't choose where to work or what to do. He could just beg. His blindness gave him no option but to beg. And he's not just blind, but he's poor. He's a beggar. He had a hard life. Because of his condition, he was unable to work, unable to get money. So he had to sit by the roadside and beg. He would carefully listen for footsteps coming nearby and holding his hands out for help. He was poor, having nothing to call his own. Unlike today, he didn't have guide dogs or braille to read. All he knew was to beg. He was completely without hope, helpless, dependent on the generosity of others. Thirdly, Bartimaeus is named. This is significant because throughout the Gospels, when Jesus heals people and performs miracles, the people healed are rarely named. When people are healed, we're usually told it's this person's son or someone's servant. But I think it's significant because after Jesus had healed him, he went on to follow Jesus. His life was changed after receiving his eyesight. Bartimaeus was in a pitiful and wretched condition. But Bartimaeus is significant because in this condition, he represents all those who are outside Jesus and lost in sin. We need our eyes to be opened. You might be thinking, I'm not blind, I can see. You're not physically blind, maybe, but we are spiritually. Without Jesus, we are in the darkness. We cannot see spiritually. We're blind to our sinful nature. We're blind to our wrongdoings. Only Jesus can open your eyes. Like Bartimaeus, we are not only blind, but we are poor. We are beggars spiritually. You might not consider yourself poor, but you have a house, a car, a job. Maybe not all those things, but you can provide food for yourself. However, to the God of heaven, whatever you have in worldly possessions means nothing. You might have everything in the world, everything to have, but without Jesus, you are poor. Nothing we have or can try to do will provide salvation from our darkness. Without Christ, we are utterly helpless. We chase after the things of this world blindly, seeking satisfaction, fulfillment in the things that do not last. We have a pitiful condition that can only be solved by Jesus. As we move on through the story, we see Bartimaeus' persistent cry. Read with me from verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Before Bartimaeus hears that it was Jesus passing by, it's a normal day for him. He would sit by the roadside, as usual, listening out for people passing by and beg. But not today. Not until he hears the hundreds of footsteps of the great crowd coming close and hearing the chatter and cries of the people. You can imagine he's probably wondering, what's going on? Why is there so many people? In Luke's description of this story, Bartimaeus inquires of what is going on. You can see him reaching out for a cloak of someone passing by, pulling it and asking, what's happening? And he learns that Jesus is passing by. This is no longer a normal day for him. He's not just going to sit there begging. Because we can be sure that Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. For 3 years, everyone had been talking about Jesus, about his teachings, his sermons, but more than anything, probably, his ability to heal, his power to heal. Word about Jesus would have spread like wildfire, and we can be sure that it came to the ears of Bartimaeus. And so, as soon as he hears it was Jesus, he begins to cry out. He begins to shout. He cries, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. His immediate response is to cry out. He wants Jesus' attention. And you can think, the people in the crowd, they don't like that. You know, they want Jesus to focus on them. Who cares about this blind beggar? There's beggars everywhere. I want Jesus. So they rebuke Bartimaeus. But he's not fazed. He's not ashamed. He cries out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." There's urgency in his voice. There's a desperate need to have Jesus listen to him. You see, Bartimaeus is not like the people of the crowd. He recognizes Jesus' importance. Even though he cannot see, he knows what Jesus can do. And he recognizes who Jesus really is. He cries out, addressing Jesus as Son of David. Bartimaeus might have been blind in sight, but not in soul. The eyes of his understanding were open. He saw who Jesus really was without seeing. He saw that this Jesus of Nazareth, as the people called him, was this very Jesus whom the prophets had prophesied about long ago to be the Messiah, the Son of David. He is the promised deliverer of Israel. Bartimaeus had never seen Jesus, but he'd never witnessed any of his mighty miracles. He was never present to see the blind healed, or the crippled walk, or the dead raised. His condition had totally deprived him of any of these things. But he was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. He had heard of the Lord's mighty works. He had heard and he had believed. Yes, he hadn't seen anything, but he was more than satisfied with the word of witnesses present. Jesus must be the promised Saviour. He must be able to heal him. But Bartimaeus did not only recognise who he was, he recognised what Jesus could do. Bartimaeus recognised what Jesus could offer. He cries out to the Messiah and asks for mercy. He pleads, "Have mercy on me." Bartimaeus knew what Jesus could do for him. He knew that Jesus can offer true mercy. You know, what he cries out is very different from the world. People want justice. People want judgment for wrongdoings. They see the crime, the wars, they just want justice. They don't want mercy. Well, I tell you that if we receive justice, then we are lost. We're lost. If I, Thomas McElmoyle, receive the judgment of God, then I am going to hell. As a sinful being who's committed sin after sin after sin against a pure and holy God, then I deserve hell. Each day we fall so short of God's perfect standards. And yet, we have a God of mercy. God shows mercy to me, to you. God treats us with compassion and forgiveness. Despite that all that we have done wrong, he doesn't punish us as we deserve. You see, in God's act of mercy, he brings judgment on someone else. He cannot let our sin go unpunished for. So he punishes Jesus. He laid judgment on the one who knew no sin. He laid my sin, and he laid yours, on Jesus' shoulders and sent him to die. Jesus took the justice that we deserve so that he could offer us mercy, so that we can live forever with him. Bartimaeus knew that he needed mercy. He had sin in his life that he knew of. He even thought his blindness was punishment due to his sin. So he cries out to the Messiah, to the one who can save him, to the one who offers true mercy. And that's what we have to do, isn't it? We have to recognize who Jesus is, who he really is. He's not just a good man, a teacher, a prophet. Our Saviour. What's the first step of becoming a Christian? But recognising our sin, recognising our hopelessness before God, seeing that our only hope is Jesus, and bowing on our knees pleading for mercy, recognising that Jesus, our Saviour, paid the ultimate price of death on a cross so that we can be rescued from our blindness, from our sin. Bartimaeus was persistent in his cry. He was willing to do anything to get Jesus' attention. He was determined, and the opposition of the people wasn't going to stop him. He knew the misery and darkness of blindness, and this was his opportunity to be healed. Jesus was there now for Bartimaeus, but he would soon have passed him on by. Soon passed him on his way to Jerusalem. Bartimaeus recognized that this was his chance, or else he was doomed to a life of misery and darkness. And we need to recognize that too. We need to take this opportunity. Jesus is here now. But there will be a day which will be too late. A day where you stand in the face of judgment, and it'll be too late. Your opportunity to just recognize who Jesus is and what he can do will slip away. So Bartimaeus cries out, and Jesus hears his cry. He receives a response from Jesus. Look down at verse 49. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." Jesus, who's on his way to the cross, on his way to do the greatest thing that any man has ever done. And yet, in verse 49, he stopped still. He stopped to hear a beggar cry. Throughout all the noise of the crowd, Jesus heard the lowly cry of a man who understood who he really was. You see, Jesus cared for this blind beggar, and Jesus cares for you. Jesus loves you. He's interested in you. And he will stop whatever he is doing to listen to you. You are important to God. You mean something to God. He won't just pass on by us. He formed you in your mother's womb. He has every hair on your head numbered. Jesus will stop for you. Thirdly, we see that Bartimaeus paid a cost. In verse 50, and they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. I don't know about you, but one of the things that will always prompt a movement or spark a response from me is hearing that there's food ready. If we're going out for food or mum's made food, I'm up as quick as can be. And this is the reaction from Bartimaeus. As soon as he hears Jesus' cry, Bartimaeus jumps up and runs as quickly as he can to Jesus. But before doing this, he paid a cost. As he gets up, he throws his cloak aside. He threw his only possession aside. As a blind beggar, he had nothing except an old cloak. This cloak would have been this man's greatest treasure, something to sleep on, something to cover his head when it rained. And yet, he throws his only possession aside to come to Jesus. He threw away the thing that represents his old life. The thing that as a blind beggar he would have relied so much on. But he was willing to pay the cost of leaving his cloak, leaving it by the road for someone to pick it up, to come to Jesus. And this is what we have to do, isn't it? Leave our old life to seek a new life with Jesus. Throw the things away, the things that tempt us now, but come to Jesus. I don't want to pretend or give the impression that that is going to be easy. Sometimes the price we are called to pay is very high. Some have lost family or friends over a decision for Christ. Others have given up their homes or even their lives because they choose to follow Jesus. Everyone, when they come to Jesus, will have to give up something. We'll have to weigh up the cost of following Jesus. But I want you to know that however high that cost may be, in the end, that cost will be that you have to pay is very cheap compared to the worth of your soul. See, Mark says a couple of chapters earlier, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" Bartimaeus weighed up the cost and saw that a new life with Jesus is better than his old life without him. Finally, or fourthly, we see Bartimaeus' powerful cure. Look at verse 51. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Jesus asks Bartimaeus a simple question, maybe a silly question you might think. What do you want me to do for you? But Bartimaeus responds, "Teacher, let me recover my sight. I want to see." But we see he wanted much more than that. You see, earlier on he knew that Jesus was the son of David. He cries out to the Messiah. When Bartimaeus makes this request for his sight back, he addresses Jesus as Rabbi. However, some commentators interpret this address not as merely as teacher. You see, Mark uses a special word, Rabboni, which in Hebrew means my teacher. For Bartimaeus, Jesus was not just any teacher, as he is commonly called in other instances of miracles. No, for Bartimaeus, Jesus is my teacher. Bartimaeus recognized Jesus as my master, as his Lord. Jesus looked in his heart and knew that Bartimaeus had faith only in him. And Jesus said, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And for the first time in a very long time, he could see. And the first face he saw was the face of his very own Lord, Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus knew his pitiful condition, but he trusted God and was healed. Notice what he does when he is healed. He does not rush around Jericho as soon as his sight was restored. But Bartimaeus follows Jesus. Bartimaeus would not leave him whom he had received such a mercy. His focus had changed. Therefore, his life had changed. He was no longer bound to a life of begging, restricted to sit by the roadside and ask for money. No, he was armed with a powerful cure of Jesus Christ. His sight gained and pursued a life for the Son of David. A life devoted to Jesus. The story ends, "And followed him on the way." We see the huge effect that the grace of Christ has on anyone who tastes it. He was freely pardoned, given a new life to be dedicated to Christ's service. Is this what you want for your life? Do you dedicate each day to Jesus? One day, a Christian and a communist were sitting on a park bench, watching the world go by. As they watched, a poor, drunken beggar walked by, dressed in rags. The communist pointed to the beggar, and said, "Communism would put a new suit on that man." To which the Christian responded, "Maybe so, but Jesus Christ can put a new man in that suit." Jesus is the one who heals hearts. He's the one who changes our lives. You see, nothing that Bartimaeus tried was able to heal him from his blindness. But Jesus can. He has the power to heal him from his pitiful condition. And he can provide the solution for his desperate situation. Jesus is the one who frees us from our spiritual darkness. He is the one who gives us our sight. Who has the power to change us. It's not your work or your money or your status that makes you whole. The ideas of men like communism are hopeless solutions to a sinful, broken hearts. Communism, works, money, they cannot save your life. Only Jesus can save your life. Salvation only comes through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is here now. Do not let this opportunity pass. Come to him, and he will make you whole. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your immense mercy and grace you show to us. Thank you that despite all we do wrong, all the sin, all the hurt that we cause against you, you provide a way through Jesus Christ. You sent Jesus, the light of the world, into our darkness, so that we can know you and have life with you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please stand for the last song, 31. Keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.